Hello, I'm Jo Fay, and you're listening to a Swiss Info podcast. Swiss Info is the multilingual and international public media company of Switzerland. Welcome back to our Davos journey. This is part 5 of 6. Today we'll talk about avalanches. When and where the next one will happen is hard to predict. For centuries, avalanches have posed a threat to mountain farmers and their livestock. With the development of winter tourism, roads, railways, and hydropower plants, the interest in avalanche research and protective measures has grown. Last winter, our science journalists Sara Ibrahim and Michele Andina visited the WSL Institute for Snow and Avalanche Research in Davos. In its special cold laboratory, researchers simulate the effects of wind on fresh snow to better understand the mechanisms that trigger avalanches. Let's hear Sara.
Ever since humans settled in the Alps, they have been exposed to avalanches. With mountain tourism growing, researchers began to study the dangerous phenomenon.
Yeah, so we offer guided tours for the public.
This is Martin Hegley from the WSL Institute for Snow and Avalanche Research. We are on our way from the main building to the cold lab annex. Martin tells us what exactly they're doing here.
Wir befinden uns jetzt hier im Gang von diesem Kältelabor.
We're now in the hallway of our cold lab. Here we have several chambers we can cool down to -5, -10 or -20 degrees Celsius, depending on what we want to research.
-5, -10 oder bis -20 Grad kalt in diesen Räumen. Und wir benutzen es für verschiedene Dinge. Wir können Schneeproben.
Here we store snow samples, but we can also make snow ourselves in one of these chambers. Let's go and see what that looks like.
The history of the SLF begins in 1936. Today, the institute employs 180 people. The institute is founded by the federal government, cantons and industry. Martin now takes us into one of the chambers. A label next to the door says -25 degrees Celsius. It's freezing in here.
Freddissimo.
We are looking at an O-shaped wooden container stretched out on the floor. It's about 2 by 1.5 meters large. It's connected to several devices with cables, and there's a plexiglass window to see inside.
Es ist eigentlich ein Windkanal.
This is the wind tunnel. We want to understand how the wind transports the snow. In here, air is blown around in a circle. That actually happens outside, too. The wind moves the snow and deposits it somewhere. And that can lead to avalanches. We want to understand that better. How does it work? How exactly does the snow move?
There's another container that looks like a small greenhouse, which is made for producing artificial snow. Nylon threads are strung up inside the space.
These are the nylon threads, like on a fishing rod. The snow crystals grow on these.
Does that use a lot of energy?
Yes, it takes a lot of energy to produce the cold. We can take a little bit of this one. It's like real snow, but machine-made.
Perfect.
Time for us to leave the cold chamber. It's nice how warm the hallway feels now.
Like with a fridge, it also generates heat. We use it to heat the building.
So haben wir einen doppelten Nutzen.
Martin points to a world map that shows all the locations from where snow samples have been brought here to be analyzed.
We had snow from Greenland, from the north of Canada, and Alaska. That was during the Mosaic expedition, an icebreaker mission. And we even got snow from the Antarctic.
Und auch sogar von der Antarktis gab es.
Weil ihr analysiert auch die verschiedene.
So you're looking at the structure of the snow, right? Does it vary from place to place?
Je nach Ort, ja, teilweise schon.
Yes, the snow can have a different structure depending on where it comes from. It depends on the climate and how cold it is. Here in Switzerland, it's not as cold as Alaska or in Antarctica, where it's extremely cold. And air humidity is also an important factor.
Und die Luftfeuchtigkeit und so, das spielt eine Rolle, je nachdem ist der Schnee unterschiedlich. Dann gehen wir kurz, schauen wir noch hier.
Let's go and have a look here. Here we have our three X-ray machines to examine the snow.
To be X-rayed, the snow is put in small cylindrical containers, tubes that resemble little shampoo bottles you would find in a hotel.
These containers hold small samples of snow that we can examine to see the microstructure of the snow.
Martin opens the door of one of the X-ray machines, where the snow samples go in. The tubes are placed here on a mount.
It's quite a small device. The sample is X-rayed here, like at the dentist or in the hospital. At the same time, the sample is rotated in order to get a three-dimensional image of the snow.
Then we look at some X-ray images on a screen.
Wir haben vorher diese Röhrchen angeschaut. Das ist so ein Querschnitt.
We look at the tubes before. This is a cross section of one of them. We make those at different heights. You can see that here. This is just an overview, but we scanned 4,000 slices from this sample.
These images are then turned into enlarged 3D prints. Martin shows us some examples of such prints. They look like blocks of styrofoam with a lot of holes.
Hier sehen wir, dass gibt
Here we see that there are very different types of snow, like this one. And here it's very compact. This is actually ice. And then there is very fine snow. This sample was taken at an avalanche site. An avalanche slipped down on this layer. We're trying to understand how snow changes and when such layers form, on which an avalanche can slide. We call this a weak layer because its mechanics are not very stable. It only takes a little, for example, a skier to pass over it, for the load to pass through the snow. Then this layer can break and the avalanche slides down.
Kann es in diese Schicht brechen und dann rutscht eben diese Lawine ab.
If you're curious to see what these cold chambers or the 3D snow prints look like, go and visit our website, swissinfo.ch, and search for Science Davos. You'll find a short video version of this episode. Sarah joins me in the studio now. Sarah, I wanted to ask you if you could really see the difference in these different types of snow that came from different places, because I think a lot of people would say that snow just always looks the same.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's actually very difficult to see with your eye difference between the snow. That's why it was so interesting to be there with Martin and see how the 3D is shaping the actual shape of the snow that we cannot see, and how dangerous it can be for people walking or skiing.
Yeah, so I think it really proves the point that you have to be quite specialised and maybe have quite a lot of knowledge in order to be able to see when it would potentially be a dangerous time for an avalanche, or at least have some kind of previously gained knowledge about what to spot for the dangers.
Yeah, for sure. It's very important to be there and knowing already before getting up to the mountains or skiing that this could be a danger, and be informed about the weather conditions. There are some services giving information about the risk of avalanches in a certain day or time of the day. So definitely it is worth to be informed on that.
Okay, thank you very much. We have one more episode from our Davos series coming up, and this one will be about artificial intelligence. The scientists we'll hear from next time say, though, that real AI doesn't yet exist, but they're working on it. Today's episode was recorded and edited by our science and video journalist, Michele Andina. I'm Jo Fay. Thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Imogen Folks from Swiss Info's Inside Geneva podcast. On February 24th, 2022, Russia attacked Ukraine. The invasion caused Europe's largest refugee crisis since World War II. And during the year-long conflict, tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of people, soldiers and civilians, have been killed. Over the past year, a number of episodes of Inside Geneva have looked at the heavy humanitarian toll of the war and its wider implications for the world. We've been joined by historians and international human rights experts to ask about the background to the invasion. We've talked to major UN aid agencies about how the war in Ukraine is impacting other humanitarian crises. And we've asked if sanctions or war crimes investigations can stop or at least limit this conflict. If you're particularly concerned by the war in Ukraine, do listen to these episodes. You can find Inside Geneva, free to listen, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and all your usual podcast apps.